This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Listen in to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, one of our November podcasts. While we're on a kind of hiatus.
Almost hiatus.
It's an almost hiatus.
You're back again.
I took off.
You're
a couple
squatting
of weeks.
In a studio.
Squatting maybe, but we're not out of the count yet. Right? It's osmosis. It's time again for Emmett Okuna to have a look back and forward. Probably a lot of forwardness about comic books and the like as far as Australian content goes. Aussie comics.
It's osmosis again. Here we go again.
It's percolating. Something is.
Yeah.
So welcome back again.
Thanks.
This is the first 2013 special podcast.
Excellent. Yeah.
While we are resting the live show. So Emmett, look, I'm going to pretty much hand this podcast over to you.
Oh, okay.
You're in charge.
Okay.
You're going to tell me what's going on and what has been happening.
All right, okay.
To Mr. Everything, Mr. Big, Mr. Geek, Mr. Momus.
My word.
And explain. Maybe first off, let's just ask you the question of who are you, in case there's a first timer listening.
I'm a freelance writer. I'm from Dublin, Ireland originally. I've managed to make my way over here to Melbourne, Australia.
To make this podcast.
I came here expressly for this podcast.
This is amazing.
But I have a great interest in Australian comics. I'm interested in lots of other things, you know, film, books, dancing. But Australian comics.
I've never heard of your dancing podcast.
Yeah, that's on really late. Huge interest in Australian comics because a lot of the creators involved are quite passionate. And I'm trying to do my best to try and put that out there and draw attention to it and basically do a bit of ad hoc advocacy for the folks out there, the men and women of Australian and New Zealand comicdom, who are doing some fine work, and more people should be reading them. That's me in a nutshell. That's what and that's why I'm here, Sonia, to talk about comics made in this fine country.
Yes.
And your neighbours New Zealand, just to put that out there.
Can't forget the ones across the ditch.
They're your lot, aren't they? Yeah.
They are, apparently. But I'm an economic refugee, of course, like many of them.
Oh, like myself.
And like you've come further afield, of course. But no, this has been the great thing of having you as part of an ongoing contributor for Sci-Fi and Scream during the live sessions, the live show, the uncut live sessions.
There you go,
these ones will be, no doubt. But it has been good to be able to cover some of that. The ingredient, I guess, that was missing for our show was the Australian comic artists and writers. And it's been fantastic.
I have to say, just before we started recording, I was walking through your studio offices and I saw that lovely print that Dean Rankin has done for you.
Yes.
Absolutely gorgeous.
It's everywhere.
Oh, it's beautiful.
It's not in the bathroom, though. I'm kind of amazed.
It's on my way to the bathroom. It's not in the bathroom.
Just so you know, yes.
Just so you know, Dean. They're not disrespecting you.
Thank you, Dean Rankin, of course, famous for doing a lot of work for the Simpsons franchise and production, of course, and for us he did something called Queer Geek Pride, the poster says.
Yeah.
Yes. It is sort of an image of myself as Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Just curious.
Oh, you're wonderful, Sonia.
And Dylan. And Dylan, or Dillstick from Sci-Fi and Scream. But he's got a bit of a beard in that. He didn't actually have a beard. It was the shadow in the photo that I sent Dean. It's quite funny. So I said to Dylan, can you, in 2 weeks, can you grow a beard very quickly?
Yeah.
Before
Dylan
the live
needs to
panel.
A beard, you know, he's working it in that painting. You know?
It's Movember after all.
Well, this is the thing. And I mean, that was if you're talking about recent comic book events, I mean, Dean Rankin is one of the hardest working men in Australian comics. I mean, he's out there going to all the shows. I think he was just in Auckland.
Armageddon Auckland, yes.
And just this past weekend, he was up in All Star Comics here in Melbourne, and he was doing signings, and he was doing drawings and sketches for folks.
Was that the Halloween Comics
I think
one.
It was, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's what's really good about him. He puts himself out there and he invites people to drop him a private message if they want a caricature and he'll do it for you.
Yes.
And his style is so unmistakable. It's obviously Dean's work. You know?
Yeah.
He's very popular because of that. And having a little Dean picture of yourself, that must be a great honor.
That was great. It was a great honor to have him contribute to the panel for the Armageddon Expo we did in October 19th. That was the Queer Geeks of Oz panel, which a few of us were a part of. And yes, he's very famous for the head in the jar.
Yes, the Futurama bit. Yeah.
Yeah. It's great fun. That was the biggest, longest shout out probably for Dean Rankin. Thank you, Dean.
All right. Well,
all right. Let's do it.
I'll plug myself. So, well, no, actually, there's actually a launch happening on Thursday, the 7th of November, mm-hmm. for Etchings Magazine. It's their Visual Eyes issue, and this is published by Allura Press. And in this particular issue, they invited submissions of articles on visual art, so film art itself, sculpture, all the rest of it. And I got a bright idea into my head to write a piece about comics. So what I did is I wrote this long form essay and I took popular American comics, like recognizable American comic books. And then I took French comics, so bande dessinée. So I did a little quick walkthrough of Alejandro Jodorowsky's Ancal.
Right.
And then in the last part of the essay, I suggest that what's great about Australian comics is they take the populism of American books, American titles,
mm-hmm.
and they take the artistry of French books and they put them together. Mm-hmm. And I got a great piece from Bruce Mutar did a tribute to Mobius, the French artist.
Yes, yes.
So I asked if I could use that piece in the essay, and that's featured in the essay. And
excellent.
I gave a shout out to the likes of Tom Taylor and the Gestalt set and Milk Shadow and all the guys in Black House comics up in Sydney and a host of Australian names, and trying to put them out there and maybe get attention from a new market. So the folks reading Etchings, you know, maybe they're not familiar with Australian comics and this would be of interest to them. So the idea of pitching it in this way, I'm basically saying that what's great about Australian comics is you're in a position to have all this influence from American books, but you're not as commercially focused as American books because there isn't an industry here as yet.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about those.
So you can experiment.
Mm.
And because so much of the work being published here in Australia is the output of passionate creators, artists and writers who just want to work in comics, they're free to do new things and try new things. And really what I'm hoping for is in the near future, we'll have a critical mass of Australian books. We're getting to that point, I feel.
Mm.
And then what we'll see is, yes, a proper industry actually emerge here.
Mm.
And, you know, people can make a living from publishing books here in Australia and selling them here in Australia and internationally.
Mm.
So that was kind of that's my little pitch for that article. But
when will the article be available? Is it after November 7th?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's launching on the 7th in Embiggen Books on Little Lonsdale Street this Thursday, 6:30. So I imagine this will go out after, but we'll see.
Yeah.
How
fast can Sonia edit?
Folks out there, I mean, if you go to your newsagent, whatever, I'm sure you can get it in. Maybe Mag Nation would have it, I'm sure. But it's Etchings Magazine, and it's well worth checking out. I think you can get it from the Allura Press website as well.
Oh, right. I know what you mean. Yes.
They'll send it out to you as well in the mail. So that's
exciting.
Yeah, that's a little thing I got to do. And the other piece I just wanted to mention quickly is there's a magazine called Film International, and they're published in Sweden, actually. They've got a great website. It's filmint.nu, I think, NU. And I pitched an article for them, which is a profile of Frank Condoloro. Melbourne's own Frank Condoloro.
That's wonderful.
Because he, as a filmmaker, he's got interest in film, the film history.
Yes.
And the pitch was a focus on the work of Stanley Kubrick. Because Frank actually did a book called Vidi Well, Brother, which riffed quite heavily on A Clockwork Orange, but every other Kubrick film got in there as well. Everything from Eyes Wide Shut to 2001 and so on and so forth, all throughout his career. And Barry Lyndon was the one I was thinking
about
there.
To say. Barry Lyndon
gets in there too as well, which I thought was great. Yeah. Dr. Strangelove. We had a really great time interviewing Frank, and I thought, okay, I need to get this into somewhere where we can get him the most exposure possible.
Yes,
yes. So international film magazine.
That's fantastic.
That struck me as a wonderful. Good idea.
Frank is amazing. I often see on his Facebook page, he will put up a new profile and it's always heavily emphasizing his love of cinema. And yes. I think that's where him and I have sort of, we've had a bit of fun there liking each other's profiles and Kubrick, you know, recently.
Yeah.
Some Kubrick images from Full Metal Jacket or something. And yeah, look, it's great to see someone appreciate that aspect as well and doing comics for a local generation and local buyers. And
yeah, well the frustrating thing about Frank Condoloro, the very frustrating thing about him, interview him.
Yes.
And you say, his latest book is Video El Brother. And by the time the interview goes to print, he's bloody made 3 or 4 more books.
He's so prolific. The man is incredible. You can't stop him.
I know. And then last Friday, there was yet another launch for the Halloween. This is the Halloween party.
Yes,
sorry,
yes.
In Brunswick.
Yes.
I have Sorochuk's party.
I was working, unfortunately.
Yeah, I missed it too, unfortunately. Mm. But Frank launched his latest book, which is Mail Order Mutant, which you can get from his website.
It's all that for 99 cents.
Yeah. And again, you have cinema influence there, because he seems to be riffing on sort of the bad boy racing movies of the 1950s, all those chaps in leather racing back and forth, round and round.
Roger Corman,
faster pussycat, kill, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
he's a fantastic creator, and you know, more power to him, I reckon. Mm. So hopefully this will get him more exposure too.
Right, and when is that out? Or did you tell me?
They just sent me the proofs this morning, shortly. So I actually got to send that to Frank, and I said, have a look, what do you think? Ooh. And he was like,
Is he excited?
He's very excited.
Bless him, awesome. Do we have any idea when that might be available?
I think it will be this month, so November.
Goody.
It'll be out this month,
Excellent.
And you can get that from Magnation. That's available from Magnation.
Cool. Well, we'll definitely put all the links up for the podcast for all of those wonderful things.
Mm.
Mm, nice one.
So, other news. Well, Gary Schallner also had a launch there recently. Gary's based in Tasmania, and he actually works at MONA, the Museum of Old and New Art.
Mm.
Lovely job. I'm very jealous of him. And he actually got to have his launch there as of the Emerging Writers Festival.
Yes. Yep.
So I met him, I think, just a couple of days beforehand, just to get some insight into what the launch would be. And he was very excited because in the local newspaper, they had an article all about him and a book launch. And above him was Tim Winton, an interview with Tim Winton.
Right,
so he's like, I'm below Tim Winton, so everyone's going to see me, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is great exposure for him to get in, get that kind of press as well, and to be featured in the Emerging Writers Festival. But the idea was that he would be discussing digital comics.
Okay.
And the last show we did together, I did that reading from The Undertaker, Morton Stone, because that's going to be launching digitally first through Comixology. And then I believe there's going to be a print publication of, I think, 6 issues in total. And that'll be in the new year, sometime in the early 2014. And he was expected, I believe, the report in the newspaper was that he would be delivering a talk on digital comics and publishing online. What he actually did was he did a live performance of the comic with his partner Belinda.
Goodness.
Yeah. So they read it out and
all
the parts and all the voices and all that. Yeah. So I missed that as well, unfortunately.
Did anyone record this?
There's photos. I've seen photos from the event.
Okay.
Yeah. And it looks like, you know, it looked like a very warm and
I hope the audience got into that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a great idea for comics too, because it is so performative.
And it's a fantastic venue. I mean, Tasmania, I think, brilliant what they've done there.
Yeah, it was my first time and I was blown away by it. I loved it.
Yes, the trip to Tasmania.
Mm.
All roads seem to lead there. Seriously.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, that sounds really great. Let's hope we can see some results from that for him. That sounds very positive.
Mm.
Especially since Morton Stone, of course, famously for Sci-Fi and Squeam, we have to remind our listeners, the poem. Yes, that's right. Now, if you want to hear a performance piece from Osmosis's Emmett himself, you need to check out our podcast from previous incarnations, and we can put the link there. I'm embarrassing him now. Never mind.
That's okay.
It was cool.
Okay. It was a spur of the moment thing. So, other news. Well, one of the great things about new up-and-coming creators these days, and established creators as well, is that they can take advantage of crowdfunding campaigns to draw attention to their work and not having to go through the same old channels. So there's two campaigns that I'm really excited about, and I would just like to touch on both of them. The first is Teen High Zombie Squad, which has Darren Randall, James Brewer, and Jeremy Love behind it. And the second is Ink Tales, which is got Dale McCanty's Beach. And I'll be getting back to that. Dale McCanty's Beast. And I'll be getting back to that in a moment. But Teen High Zombie Squad, James Brewer, a name that a lot of Australian comic fans will know because he's the artist behind The Deep. I think every feature I've seen on this has mentioned that, and that's because The Deep has such goodwill towards it. It is a great book. It's written by Tom Taylor. Brewer visualized it beautifully. He also was, I think he was one of the animation directors of the animated show.
So it's been made into an animated show.
It has, and I think I think it's just been, it was signed up for the ABC we were talking last time, so we're hopefully going to get to see it in the air soon. So it's a great comic, and what's interesting about Teen High Zombie Squad is that he's gone away from the family-friendly The Deep, and he's gone into full nostalgia, frenzy, 1980s zombie horror.
The director of The Breakfast Club.
John Hughes.
Yes, well, that influence is there.
So. If you go to the campaign website, and the link's going to be coming out with this, I'm sure, but if you go to the campaign site for Teen High Zombie Squad, Darren Randall, the writer, discusses this, and he says, yes, he's heavily influenced by John Hughes movies. He's heavily influenced by The Breakfast Club, Heathers, and so forth. On the website, they've got sample art, and you can see all of that. I was struck, it kind of reminded me of Class of Newcomb High as well. There's a bit of that. And there's a comic by Faith Erin Hicks called Zombies Calling. So, like, you know, the Clash, London Calling, you know.
Right.
It's about this American girl in the school. She's really into, like, British culture, and hence the Clash reference. And one day, her and her friends suddenly have to fight off a zombie epidemic in the middle of their school. Very funny book. Great read. Well worth checking out. Faith Erin Hicks is an amazing artist. I just learned today she was involved. I think she was involved in the art for The Last of Us, the game. So she's doing really well. But this similarly has that vibe of being quite good humoured, but also, you know, cartoonishly violent, which is quite enjoyable. I do resent the emphasis on realistic violence in comic art. I appreciate realism for what it is, but when you're talking about monsters chewing off people's faces, it you do start just disturbing people for the sake of disturbing them. What I enjoy is people who have fun with their horror.
You can have a bit of tongue-in-cheek, literally.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it doesn't have to be serious.
No, and just going by what Darren Randall is saying about Teen High Zombie Squad, I mean, you have the social misfits in school. You have the cheerleader and the nerd and the jock joining forces to fight the zombie horde of their former classmates. I mean, that's classic, you know, Buffy kind of material.
It is,
there.
I was about to say, yes. You know. Yeah, that's wonderful. It does sound really impressive. And I mean, looking at Darren Randall as well, looking at his CV, his background, I mean, how can you go wrong? He's been involved in things like Happy Feet 2, the Star Wars universe as well, and things like Saints Row 3. So
yeah,
it's a real interesting combo.
Well, these are all very professional guys.
Yeah.
And they look like they're bringing that smooth professional sheen to this project. And that's what's interesting about it to me, that these guys can come together, they can get a crowdfunding campaign going, offer you some rewards that are quite interesting, actually, and then put out a really quality book.
Oh, the rewards are hilarious.
Yeah.
What's this thing about burgers? I mean, I just got lost and hungry at the same time. Fabulous way of getting people on board, and that's the great thing. It makes it such a wonderful prize, these things like Possible and the Kickstarter campaigns, is because you feel like you can be part of something as well. Really have a close intimacy almost with the creators and get to see what they're going through, and at the same time, it makes you feel pretty tickled pink.
Well, you're in effect an investor
yes,
in this project, and you get to then see it come to life.
That's wonderful.
You get to represent what you feel should be on the stands. That's brilliant to me. I mean, you're, you know, unfortunately, we were coming to a point where all our art, all our cultural material was being focus grouped to the nth degree. And what's great about crowdfunding is we can circumvent that process and actually try and get some interesting stuff out there.
And without the huge compromises, like these focus groups and marketing, you know, examinations do, and then you end up with something that is homogenized beyond recognition. And it's great to see that a smaller group of people can make something that could be quite big.
Yeah.
And yet, yeah, like you said, you can have a part of it, which is a lot of fun. And I'm curious how the burger thing works. But it is fun. And certainly with that one, we'll put that up on the website as well. But yeah, just looking at their background, we're talking about people who've been involved with Hellboy, Chronicles of Narnia, you know, film and animation as well. And Brisbane based.
Yeah. Keeping it local.
Lovely sunny Queensland. Because most people say things like horror and that type of genre is made in Melbourne because it's dark and wet and cold most of the time, apparently. But not necessarily. There's some interesting sci-fi films that have been made too up in the warmer climes of Australia. So, look, good on them. This is a great, I think this is really positive for Brisbane artists.
Yeah, yeah. Good one. And moving on, I guess, well, this is a Melbourne book, from what I can tell, although the contributors are from Melbourne, Ink Tales.
Ah, well, it's very Melbourne.
Yeah.
In a sensibility, I think.
I'm just going to throw out some names here, but Dale McCanty is the guy behind it. Bruce Moutard, I mentioned earlier on. Yeah. Benjamin Plemion, Kate Moon, Black Betty, G. Howell, Steve Boyd, Justin Woolley, Andrew Isaac. There's a mixture of established names, up-and-coming names, guys just putting the work out there, and all on this one anthology together. It's very exciting. And I think that campaign's going to be ending shortly, so it really is worth putting out there that Ink Tales, get behind it. It's great to see all these folks doing work. And it's a really interesting idea for an anthology. Every story is somehow takes as a point of departure tattoo. So it's not even necessarily the same genre. I mean, you run the gamut from supernatural horror to romance to sort of, Bruce Moutard does a really interesting slice of life drama set in the Vietnam War, and it's a great story. And that one is Chasing Dragons.
So these things could all be tattoos. They could be seen imagery-wise, it's got that tattoo sensibility, would you say? Is that why?
The stories all take inspiration from the idea of tattoo. So either a character is getting a tattoo or has a tattoo, or a tattoo appears in some connection with the story. And it's just a really good way of grouping all of these stories together, all these narratives together. So in God's Hands, for example, and that's by Benjamin Plemion and Kate Moon, that is a father and daughter in hospital. She has to have an operation. Part of the operation, she will have to have a tattoo. I think that's the medical term. I don't think they're talking about putting some ink dragon on her skin or anything. I think it's a medical procedure. But according to the father's religious faith, that is beyond the pale. That can't be done. You know, that she's breaking covenant. There we have this conflict between the father and the daughter. And can he adapt? Will he adapt his views to help his daughter?
Fascinating.
It's an interesting idea.
Yeah, very fascinating, because when you start thinking about it, tattoos not just about decoration. I mean, the culture that I'm from, tattoos about where you come from and originally is about marking a person, and so another person can tell what family they're from and the story about that family. It's almost like an ancestral chronology for each family and what tribe you belong to. But tattoos have been used in history for some, you know, heinous things as well. Like obviously genocide during Nazi Germany era.
One of the stories also does touch on the Holocaust, the concentration camp victims.
And more, obviously more domesticated things, simple things like your cat has to have a tattoo in its ear. And I believe dogs probably do too. So, you know, they don't run amok or as such. And so people like council can keep an eye on them and you pay your fees, obviously. So, it's interesting. I'm looking forward to this very much so.
There is one other story in the collection I just want to quickly mention. That's I'm going to mispronounce this because it's Dutch. I Al Evit, I think. which I tried to Google before coming on the air. I think it is I Will Love You Forever or Forever. I think it's Forever. And that's by Black Betty. And a really interesting artistic style, set during World War II. Again, features the invasion and occupation of, I presume, the Netherlands. And very simple story, very spare style, but beautiful and quite sad.
Wonderful. But
again, just giving you an idea of the sheer variety of the stories featured in this collection.
That collection just sounds incredible. And what a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
For it to come together. And wonderful. When is that out again?
They're actually...
Late November.
Yeah, they're currently working on their crowdfunding campaign so everyone can get paid. So once again, if you check out the link, I'm sure you'll have the link on Facebook and so forth. Folks can throw in their cash and get this thing over the line. We're hoping to see it shortly, I think. They're looking to get to the printers quite shortly, actually. Yeah. So hopefully this month.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
It's a good thing for Melbourne, too.
Mm.
Excellent. All right. And so one more?
There was one more thing, and that is a book that actually is out on the shelves, and you can get it, and that is Falling Star by Christian Rue. Now, this book's been pimped quite heavily by All Star Comics. I saw it on their Facebook page, and I was like, oh, well, if the lads at All Star are like something, I'll give it a look. It's a very interesting story, art and plot by Christian Rue. It appears to be Australian setting. We've got this urban setting, which is currently under Martian law. The city is under Martian law, and superheroes are trashing the place. And you've got high-powered superheroes who are basically seen as forces of nature, and the populace are being kept under guard by these heavily armed soldiers to protect them, as it were. But it seems to be they're in effect trying to enact this dictatorship. And then you've got lower level superhumans who are on the streets and just trying to make a living and trying to get it and survive. And some interesting ideas at play here. The first issue is mostly set up from what I could tell. Christian seems like he's got some ideas where this story's going. I do like that it's an Australian setting. I do like that he's taken superhumans, but it's not a superhero comic as one would normally see them. It's very much a science fiction story. So yeah, I'm really interested to see where this is going, actually. But yeah, it's available on his website, but you can also buy it in the shops right now too.
Where is he based? Is he?
I think he's Melbourne. I think he's Melbourne.
Okay.
But yeah, he's well
and
worth
he's
checking
set
out.
It. He's set it in an Australian landscape.
It seems to be. Yeah, it's an Australian setting. There were some place names. I don't know your geography well enough to know if that was a telltale reference.
Look at me.
Yeah, no,
I'm still trying.
They talked about this building being destroyed, and they named the building. And I was like, well, I don't know if that's a fictional building or if it exists. So that was my issue there. But we're worth checking out anyway, just to see new work coming out that uses the tropes of superhero comics and tries to do something interesting with them in an Australian context.
There's some great, interesting stuff that's available now, but also coming up for the month of November. And of course, as you know, November spawns many monsters. And just like the Morrissey song, I'm just saying we've got Monster Film Festival coming up, just as an aside, and many other things have been happening, which is exciting for genre and pop culture, you know, animals like ourselves.
Yes, indeed.
Emmett, that's
spoiled
great.
For choice, yeah.
All right, anything you're looking forward to that we haven't mentioned now in the comics verse?
Yeah, I think Milk Shadow are going to be coming up with some new Tom Bonin. It's called Dix. It's a comic book called Dix, and it features two characters who seem to be loosely... One is based on William Burroughs. I know that much.
Right.
And the other character, it escapes me right now, but these two writers, and they're pitched as supernatural detectives. And
Milk Shadow are going to be publishing... Hence the Dix title.
Yeah. And they're going to be publishing some new stuff. There was an earlier collection, which you can still get in the shops, and it featured Jason Franks and Tom Taylor working with Tom Bonin and a few other chaps. Great fun book, and little short supernatural horror stories.
But sort of noir, is it?
Yeah, riffing on noir and horror. So that's going to be coming out shortly from Milk Shadow Books in the new year. So really looking forward to that. Yeah.
Yay. Anything else?
Well, I'm going to be featured in upcoming issues of Decay, actually, which is...
Goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Darren Koziel's Decay.
Yes.
Just just this beast of a comic. I think he's going to be launching it at some of the local fest, but it's going to be coming out in March. So Darren Cozio is from Adelaide.
Yep.
Decay's been, I think it's the longest running Australian comic still being published right now, you know. And it's horror anthology, and I've got two stories coming out with Paul Brisk on art, the lovely Paul.
Wow.
So the first story is called Cairo Road, and that was a little sort of Ozploitation riff that we came up with together. And excellent. The second one is called The 1001 Deaths of Bill Maturin, which is kind of, I think Darren asked us to do a Golden Age story, something you take inspiration from Golden Age comics.
Yes.
Wow. So I came up with this weird little fable.
Golden Age comics, my goodness. Wow, that's so going back.
They're both launching separately in March. Like in separate dates.
Okay.
I think there's going to be two issues. That's the last I heard. Details could change. Subject to change.
He's amazing. Like the way he keeps going, he keeps fighting, you know, to make sure that this gets published. Decay is being something he's very passionate about. Every time I see him at a convention, you know, it's great to see him there. You know, every time. Most of the time he goes to them. I think I saw him last November at the Oz HorrorCon.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And another news, I think what I'm really excited about is Gestalt's getting in there with Comixology. I mean, they already were on different digital distributors, but Comixology have taken up now The Example, which is the Tom Taylor, Colin Wilson book.
Yes.
The Deep's on there too, which I mentioned previously. So James Brewer and Tom Taylor again. Christian Reed and Emily Smith, and then Gary Schallner's Unmasked. Well, the Gary Schallner issue isn't available digitally yet, but the Emily Smith one is. But it's going to be coming out there too. And finally, we've got Andrew Constant and Emily Smith again, Broken Line, which I believe is going to be released digitally first. And the last Bearding the Geek, Ryan and I talked about this, and Ryan did a review of it. I haven't read it yet. Ryan was privileged to read it. I haven't got my hands on it yet. It sounds really cool. It sounds like a really interesting Ozploitation car stalker horror thing. I assumed, going on the preview art alone, that it would be dystopian fiction. That's what I assumed. That's all I have to go on. Because you've got this dented car bumper, and then in it you can see the reflection of an atomic mushroom cloud.
Cool.
So I was thinking, oh, so it's going to be...
What era is the bumper? Oh, the car.
Exactly. See, that's, I had
Neville Shute.
I thought it was like a classic car. Mm. Yeah, so what if the bomb was dropped on civilization, you know? And
yes,
these guys are now going to be driving around these crappy cars that they've managed to tape together, a bit like Cuba. And you know, rule the roads, Mad Max style. That was my impression from an image. But when I spoke to Ryan about Broken Line, he didn't mention the word dystopian, that I can recall. He didn't seem to mention it.
Right.
So I'm thinking, maybe I was wrong. Maybe it's something else. So,
And where is it set? Well, do you know?
I know nothing.
Yeah.
I know nothing.
It is Australian, but we don't know where.
We don't know where it's set. I think it'll be generically road. It's the road, you know.
I'm sure. Broken Line, because that could mean so many things immediately to my mind. I'm thinking Broken Line. Ah, the grid, the panels of a comic are broken. Oh, no, a broken line. It could be, because you mentioned a car on the road, you know, the broken lines in the middle of a road. Oh, many things could be crossed. Yeah. Lines can be broken.
Yeah.
Aren't they? Another one
we have nothing
to
go on, Zanya, except this image.
It. Mystery Road, one could say.
Oh, no, there's a film.
Oh, I've heard. Look, I haven't. Okay,
we're supposed to be talking about Australian comics, I just for the record, I love that movie. That was a great movie.
But no, that's something we can talk about in the 2013
podcast.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Coming up.
Great stuff.
The best and the worst, the good, the bad, and the beautiful.
Are we going to have words about Upstream Colour?
Oh, of course. It's in my list.
When I say, when I say words, I mean, are you going to argue with me? Because I liked it.
I can't tell.
Oh,
I can't tell.
Okay,
that would be letting the pig out of the bag.
People can look forward to that. Yeah.
Yes. And you're next.
Yeah.
Did you see that, by the way?
I didn't. No.
Oh, well, good. All right. Anything else there for Osmosis listeners?
Other books that you can get right now. Well, if you go to the shops, you can pick up From Above by Craig Brin. I mentioned that briefly in the live show last time. You know, 90s superhero comic style, very much. If you like your classic Jim Lee X-Men, you should like it. That does have an Australian setting. It is once again super sci-fi futuristic with a masked vigilante, but it is set in Australia. So again, quite interesting. I like that folks now have the confidence to, you know, take the tropes of American comics and then put them to use in an Australian setting.
Why not?
Yeah.
Anybody can put a cape on now. And we're all behind the mask. Andy Hawken, I'm sure he'll be interested in that one.
Ah, yes, there you go. Definitely. Yeah, he'd like that, yeah. Cool. So, that's it. I mean, I think it's great to see so many new folks coming up. It's great to see some of the guys who've been in the game for a while getting a new lease on life and, you know, they're getting the respect they deserve from the new generation. And every month at the comic meet here in Melbourne, you see all the folks intermingling and exchanging tips and advice, and I think there's a really strong community emerging in all the different capitals across Australia, not just Melbourne. Canberra, Brisbane, Adelaide, we mentioned before, and they all have strong scenes emerging, so I think we're going to see something special coming. Yeah,
I hope so. Well, it does sound great. I think I'm looking forward to Ink Tales and Broken Line. And look, even The Falling Star, it does sound really, I'm curious about that.
Yeah.
With the superhero genre that it's employing there. So that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yay.
Fun times.
Now, that is Osmosis for November. But look, we're looking forward to Christmas, the new year, a lot of things will be on the agenda, no doubt. And yes, you can check out all the podcasts on joy.org.au. You just have to head to Resting Programs on the grid there for Sci-Fi and Squeam. And once you put that in the little search space, all of those episodes we did live will come up as well with you, Emmett.
Ah, very good.
And other people, of course. But yeah, no, thank you very much.
No worries.
For coming on to the podcast.
It was a pleasure. Yeah.
Thank you, Emmett Okuna. Where can people go to find out more about yourself?
You can find me on themomusreport.com. And I'm also on Beardy and the Geek, which is my podcast on Australian comics with Ryan Huff.
Good old Ryan. Should have him on one day.
Yeah. Well, he's in Sydney, so that might be difficult.
Yeah.
Get him on the phone, sure. Yeah.
We'll do that. All right. Thanks again.
No worries at all.
This is Sonia, and this is Sci-Fi and Squeam with a special November podcast for Osmosis, all things Australian comics with Emmett Okuna, only on Joy 94.9.
My name's Craig Charles. This is Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9.
Hello, my name's Robert Llewellyn. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on 94.9 Joy. I got it wrong. Joy 94.9.
9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9, 9. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.